no. Oh, yeah. That's perfect. Perfect.
I'm in
Okay,
my
we still
Batmobile.
stay off air.
Oh, you're not in the Volvo, are you?
I'm in the
Right, we're
Batmobile, yes,
live.
guys.
We are now live, guys.
Look at that,
Look at the
Brad.
tea.
Welcome to the MMA UK show. We're still trying to get Lewis on at the moment, my co-presenter. We will be saying hello to him as soon as he arrives. I'd just like to welcome Brad Pickett to the show and
Pleasure.
Nathaniel Wood.
How's it going?
So loads has happened since we last spoke to you both. I'm not sure who wants to go first. Brad, it feels like you've lived a
Ladies,
lifetime.
ladies first. Let
If you let
Nathaniel
Brad go first, we'll be here all night. So I'll
go.
start,
You,
and then
you.
I'll let you chat to Brad for the rest of the night.
Okay, well, I know you are a bit pushed for time, Nathaniel, so we'll let you go first.
No. In that case, respect your elders. I'll go first. What do you want to say, Kate?
You fight amongst yourselves. Who's going first?
You pick.
I will, because otherwise Brad will literally take all the limelight. He'll be here for 2 hours. I'll get a quick little, here we go, and then that's it. I'm done.
So first of all, congratulations for going 2-0 in the UFC, Nathaniel.
Thank you.
And two amazing finishes at that.
Yeah, it feels good. It's the first time in a while that I've come out with no injuries whatsoever. I'm fresh as a daisy, ready for the next one. So it's a nice feeling.
And you looked in control the whole way through that last fight. Literally, there wasn't a moment. You have had me on the edge of my seat sometimes in some of your previous fights. I reckon you've taken quite a lot of years off my life from your
Yeah.
exciting fight style. But this one, you just, all the way through, you just had his number, didn't you?
Yeah, if I'm honest, I thought it was going to be a lot more difficult than it was, just because of his style. It's very unorthodox, it's very if anything, it's more the kind of style that I struggle with. But as you say, from the get-go, I felt so in control, and if I'm honest, I was just having fun in there. So it was nice to get a bit more ring experience. Sometimes when you get a quick 40-second knockout or something like that, which I have done in the past, it's great. It looks good, but at the end of the day, all that training, sometimes it's nice to actually, get a few rounds in and get that under my belt.
And how does it feel to be showing off your ground game as well?
It feels good. If I'm honest, you always want them knockouts. That's where I think the people enjoy the most. But yeah, it's cool. It's obviously a lot of people say, oh, Nate's just a striker. That's all he's got. So now, if I'm putting a few submissions on people, then hopefully that will prove the doubters wrong.
And purple belt now.
Although I like to think of myself as a black belt, not in no-gi, but yeah, in gi, which I don't train myself. I'm now a purple belt. So it's cool, and it was nice of Ash, my coach, to do that for me. It was a good start to the year.
Yeah. And so tell us about UFC London. Do you know more than us? Are you allowed to tell us anything?
I don't know anything at the moment, literally. So it's just
Do you even know
waiting.
if you're going to be on the card? Have they told you that?
I don't know, but
Oh, I can see a little smirk.
couldn't say if I
Nathaniel.
did know. Right? That's all I'm gonna say.
Well, all I would say is that Darren, the dentist, who I also love dearly, let everyone know today that he will not be on the card. So
Oh,
I'm
really?
taking it, yeah,
Ah,
I'm taking
that's
it from the
disappointing.
fact that you haven't said that you're going to be on the card.
I'd like to think I'll be on the card.
And just before we came on air, it was announced that Darren Till will be fighting Jorge Masvidal as the main event. What do you think of that matchup?
Is that confirmed then, is it?
Brett Okamoto confirmed, well, tweeted it earlier, so fairly reliable source.
Yeah, that's a good fight. I saw that the other day and I thought it was just rumors, and it was apparently him versus Colby, and that's probably the best fight I think they could have made.
Yeah.
So that's exciting to see. So, I think with someone like him, if I am on that London card, I can't imagine I'm going to get that main event slot. So, hopefully if the UFC need a co-main event, maybe that I could fill in for
That would be amazing. I think we'd all love to see that.
would be cool.
Oh, who have we got joining the call? Lewis.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Brandon Nathaniel, I think you know Lewis well. I think he's interviewed you both many times before as well.
Nice to see you guys.
Yeah. How's it going,
all
mate?
Good, all good. Sorry I'm late. I had a bit of a technical issue there, but...
50 burpees. 50 burpees.
Superstar.
So, Brad, coming to you. Congrats on the birth of your new little baby. She's gorgeous. Baby Poppy Pickett.
Yeah. She's, changed my world.
Oh, it's amazing. It's really cute watching her and Buddy together as well on your stories.
Yeah. My dog, my son, and Poppy now are always the star of my I'll get my light on my car. Wait, they always star of my Instagram stories. Everyone just, you know, every time I put fighting stuff, they always say, "Stop! Where's Poppy? Where's Bonnie? Where's Buddy?"
Cute. And last week the news about your bare knuckle boxing debut broke.
Right.
Tell us about that.
It wasn't a decision I made lightly and fast. I thought about a lot, spoke to a lot of people around me, close to me and stuff like that, collected a lot of information. Obviously in life is always risk, there's risks in everything you do, so it's a calculated risk, you know. I'm not stupid. Well, I like to think I'm not stupid. I'm fighting a guy my own age, so I'm not trying to fight some young kid to prove myself.
Is that 50? I've done...
prick. So I'm fighting someone my age. And also,
are you allowed to tell us who that is, Brad?
Not yet. I think they're going to announce it in a day or two. But he's a former boxer. He's had over 50 pro fights as a boxer. So, bare knuckle is actually a bit more to my sport than it is to their sport. Because boxing gloves in boxing is completely different than boxing with bare fist. But it's not bare fist. That's the thing as well. You're actually wearing like a boxing wrap. So, yeah. For me, it's quite similar to wearing an MMA glove. And if anyone sees me fight and knows my fighting style, I like boxing within MMA, like slipping, ripping, rolls, hooks and stuff like that. And within a cage, I always find it kind of hard to pin and get my guys cornered and stuff like that. But in a ring, I do find they're going to find it hard to run away from me as much. So it'll be exciting.
It should be exciting. I'm well up for that. And then you've also got the submission grappling thing coming up with where you're allowed ground and pound as well.
Yeah, that's another thing. It's on a show called Pound Fitness in a couple of weeks. And what they're doing is it's a bit like combat jiu-jitsu, but they're calling it combat grappling, where you can take people down and you can actually punch rather than just slap. So you're wearing MMA gloves, but you can't elbow or anything like that. You can't punch in your feet. It's not an MMA fight. It's just something different. You know, they're always trying out these new things to get people excited about. So I'm excited about it. I find I'm a better grappler when I can punch you.
Well, I know you said when you was on Polaris, it was like annoying you not being able to open his guard, because you said in MMA, you always open people's guards by punching them in the face.
Exactly that. So if someone's got a close guard, I'm punching you in the body, punching you in the face until you open your guard, you know?
Yeah. And tell us about Rock 7 that's coming up on March the 2nd at the Brentwood Centre in Essex. Tickets available online.
Yes, they are. They are available online. I'm sure you have all the details for that. And you'll be able to
We're going to post the link.
Yeah, but I'm just getting something out of my bag. I'm really looking forward to it. It's our seventh event. It's going really well. Every show's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. We're learning a lot from every single one. And I'm excited for this one, you know. Got some good fights and some matchups I'm looking forward to. My show is always full of grassroots talent, you know. And I do all the matchmaking myself, so... I know they're going to be good fights when I match them up. Also, a little spoiler alert, someone else here is doing some commentary that night.
It's not me.
It's definitely not me.
And it's not me.
Special guest.
No way, Nathaniel, you're going to be the commentator.
Well, you know, it doesn't want to pay me anything, so you know, I want a bit more than that now.
Well, let's see how good you are first.
Yeah, exactly. Proof's in the pudding.
So is that with Brian Lacey?
Yeah, and Malcolm.
So Martin. It's Malcolm Martin, Brian Lacey, and Nathaniel.
Oh, that's so exciting. Really exciting. Yeah. And it'll be on UFC Fight Pass after the event as well, right?
Yes. Yeah.
It'll be good. I'm looking forward to it. It'll be a good experience.
So is this your first time commentating? Oh, sorry, Lewis.
Yeah, so I was going to say, have you done any before?
Nah, never done it before. So, you know, I don't know. People might get annoyed with my accent. And, you know, I'll obviously have to make sure I don't swear and anything like that. But, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I think I'll do quite well, if I'm honest. So... You know,
yeah, he does talk. He talks a lot. He loves the sound of his own voice, so I'm pretty sure he'd be right.
I'll have to make sure I'm not being biased to any of our fighters, obviously, and that kind of stuff. So, you know, but it'll be good. Be a good experience.
A lot of people say it's hard when you know one of the fighters and not the other. Mm. You're not trying to be biased, but you just know more about them. So you just talk about what you know.
Exactly.
I've got
exactly
some friends fighting on the show as well, so I'll have to. You know, if they win, I'll make sure I don't go, yeah, and I'll, you know, still commentating. So, no, I think I'll do all right with it. So.
And Brad, you're still looking for a few fighters, aren't you?
Yeah, there's a couple of people trying to match to making their pro debuts. It's Charlotte McIntyre, who's making a bantamweight pro debut, and Lonnie Kavanagh, who's making his flyweight pro debut. They're the two matchups I'm still trying to match up on the pros. I'm always looking for amateurs. But also, to be honest, the cards always change. So I'm always looking to put on young, exciting talent, you know?
Yeah. And who else on the card should we be looking forward to seeing?
Well, definitely all the amateurs. I've got Meridian. He's going to kill me if he hears this, because I always murder his name.
No, I practiced it before.
Go on, then.
Meridian Abubakar.
Exactly what I said. he's fighting a guy called Robert Masters, you know, two talented young guys. The fight for the flyweight belt. So that's going to be a really good fight I'm looking forward to. We have a few regulars on the card. We have Luke Trainer. He's actually making his pro debut on our card. He's fought as an amateur. He was a lightweight champion, light heavyweight champion as an amateur on our show. Now he's making his pro debut, which is going to be very exciting for us to see what he can do on the pro ranks. And also another guy who fought on one of our shows for, another young, talented guy called Will Curry. He's making his pro debut on the card as well. You know? So that's what my card's about. It's like bringing guys through the amateur ranks and then also helping them develop as pros.
Yeah, because someone like Ekindayo Airlines, he obviously went all the way through the Rock card as an amateur up onto the main card and eventually headlined. And look at him now, he's fighting for a title in Cage Warriors in December.
Exactly. I mean, that's. I'm not saying I'm trying to compete with any of these other shows. I'm just giving my. I'm just making a platform to help people get a good understanding of how the sports run, how shows should be run. It's a very professional run show, and give them a good experience and to move on to the next stage.
You've had the pleasure of interviewing Ekindayo Airlines before, haven't you, Lewis?
Yeah, he's a bit of a character, isn't he, old Mike? And like you said, it was great to see him fight for the title. So it's great to see Bradbury and guys like him and Nathaniel through. And it's only making MMA stronger in the UK, I think, isn't it?
Definitely. Always. It's a really good platform. So another thing that I wanted to chat to you about, Brad, is this thing about Nathaniel being a changed man.
Yeah, changed. He is a changed man, you know. Yeah, but the thing is, every time I'm in his corner for his fight, obviously, I'm doing anything for him. I'm picking his bags up. I'm, you know, don't
punching him
that.
In the face.
I do this. I do everything for him. But once the fight's finished and he asks me to do anything, I'm like, nope, my job's done now. You know, so,
it's a 24/7 job, Brad. That's what
you've got
to do. Just for the
night. Brad, can I ask a question to you?
I've already got two kids.
Brad, Where was your hat the last fight?
Sorry?
Where's
my
hat?
For
the last fight, yeah.
Not allowed.
Reebok won't let me wear it.
No?
They let me wear it when I was fighting, but not when I'm cornering.
Right, we were watching and we were all saying, why hasn't Brad got his hat on when you're walking out? And
we need to get a petition done to say I should be allowed to wear my hat. You know?
Or get Reebok on the side of it.
Yeah. A Reebok trilby.
Get them to make you one.
Yeah.
And obviously, as well, you're famous for slapping Nathaniel around the face a few times before he gets into the octagon.
Definitely the favourite part of the job. You know,
that's like, the most damage I took from a last fight.
Yeah. It's true, though. Because I'm doing pretty... I'm getting to the stage where I'm getting pretty good at it now. And he goes in with a nice red mark on his face. You know, it's quite funny.
What happens if you knock him out before he gets in there?
If that is the case, he shouldn't be fighting, you know. I don't, you know.
The funny thing is as well is my mum actually says to me when I come back, she says, can you tell Brad to not hit you as hard next time, please? And she's being deadly serious. She said to me, oh, you know, it's going to damage your veins or something like this. And I was like, mum, I'm getting in a fight. I'm having an MMA fight, you know. But, you know, she's adamant that Brad has to, you know, taper down a little bit. So, sorry, Brad, you got to take the power.
There you go, Brad, you've been told off.
Sorry, Mrs. Wood.
So, is Mama Smurf as protective as Papa Smurf?
Oh, Papa Smurf. Protective, yeah, Papa Smurf don't care. Yeah, he's pretty good because he used to do this. Is what I took over his role. So, like, his dad used to always slap him. So, when I first slapped Nathaniel, it was actually when his dad couldn't corner him. In Cage Warriors, is it when Nathaniel fought Vaughn Lee, his dad wasn't in his corner. His dad was there, but he just kind of like didn't want to be in his corner that time. And I asked him, I slapped him, and then I tried to offer him the job back, but I'm quite glad he didn't accept it back. And I'll take reins with this. I'm taking this job very seriously. Honestly, people don't realise I practice my hand slaps on the bag.
Lewis, have you got any questions for the guys?
So I'm just looking on Facebook now. Peter Knox is asking, first question, will Brad slap me?
How much? And also, this can get slippery where we're going down some S&M humor, you know?
Might take a rain check on that one, I think. And second question is another one from Peter. He's saying, Brad, can you get Katie a fight on ROC?
She's too valuable to me with everything she does. I can't afford her fighting.
Brad's seen me fight once and that was enough for him. He's like, I don't want you on my card.
No. She's ferocious. She is ferocious. There's no stopping Katie.
Any questions I would have for the both of you now, obviously specifically to you, Nathaniel, you've just sort of graduated from this last batch of Cage Warriors guys who've stepped up into the UFC. What's your sort of feelings on that gap, that step up from Cage Warriors to UFC? Because, you know, you've fought twice now, you've got two impressive victories, but, you know, not everyone does make it when they get to the UFC from Cage Warriors. What's your kind of thoughts on that gap between UFC and Cage Warriors, if there is one for you?
If I'm honest, I don't think there is much. There isn't too much gap, you know. The fight's a fight. So, for example, someone like Josh Reed, who I fought, who, if I'm honest, going into that fight, you know, I was looking at him thinking this is going to be an easy night in the office. He gave me the hardest fight I've ever had. You know, he almost put me out. Then you go up against someone like Andre Yule, who on papers beaten Renan Barral. I looked at him and thought, man, this guy might be a bit awkward to fight, and made light work of it. So, for me, MMA, a lot of time it is just, you know, who can turn up on the night. And, you know, the difference between Cage Warriors caliber, UFC, at the moment, not a lot, I don't think. When I get to the top 10, you know, then maybe things are going to start to change. But at the moment, you know, each fight, I just take it exactly the same as how I took my Cage Warriors ones.
Yeah. And is there any sort of difference in training, obviously, for you and Brad? Obviously, you train together. But is there any difference in training when you get to that higher level? Or is it, like you said, just much of the same?
No, if it's not broke, don't fix it. And, you know, obviously I've been on a tear. All my fights are going exactly how I want. So, you know, I'm not changing anything at the moment. The only thing that, you know, do change, obviously, when I have a big fight coming up is that, you know, even though I never did really slack anyway, you know, you just got to make sure your training is 100%. You know, there isn't no, oh, yeah, I'm going to take the night off to go down the pub or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, training's training and I make sure I turn up and put the shift in.
Yeah, fair play. And I don't know if I missed anything at the start, but is there any sort of announcements for your next fight? I know you want on that London card. Is there any...
He knows something, Lewis. He's just not telling us.
There's something in a pipeline, but I just can't announce it yet. So
I know he'll
be on the card. He'll be on the card.
I know you were calling out Cheeto Vera at one point, wasn't you? Was there any? I think he's got a fight booked up now, hasn't he? But you were calling for him for a while. Nothing ever came with that, I'm guessing.
Nah, you know, he was actually at my fight on the last one, and I was sitting down in the cafeteria kind of thing after the fight that the UFC set up, and he walked in, and I was thinking, okay, like might you know, see what goes on here, and he just walked past me and said, oh, well done on your fight, mate, and just shook my hand. So
fair play.
So it is what it is, you know what I mean? It's all a bit of fun. So
yeah, no, great. Just looking to see if we got any other Facebook comments a second. Yeah, more people just asking, can Brad slap me? Which I don't fancy it, to be honest.
We're going to set up a business now.
Yeah.
Professional slaps.
I don't know if I fancy it, to be honest. We've got Chris Emmanuel is asking, Brad, do you see yourself as more of a fighter, a coach, a matchmaker or a manager these days?
I'm all of them at the moment. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I tick all those boxes. I believe I've been in the game long enough and I've been there since the start. I've seen the game change a lot, and I believe I can pass my knowledge in many ways. If it's promoting, helping out. I've been around a lot of shows, a lot of good shows, a lot of shit shows. Don't know if I'm allowed to swear or not, but
yeah, that's
that.
Fine.
Okay, I've been around a lot of bad shows, a lot of good shows. So I'm in that area. I can help with doing a show. Then going on to managing, I've been around a lot of time, you know, so I know how to manage someone's career, not only to do what I've done, but also to not do what I haven't done. Like, I've made, you know, help me out and make sure I don't do, like, learn from my mistakes. And then as a coach, I've been around a long time as well, and I have a lot of knowledge that I could pass on to the younger generation.
Yeah, we've got a few quick questions coming in, actually. We've got two questions for you, one from Chris Emmanuel and one from John Sloan, and I'll say them together. Chris is asking, Nathaniel, do you feel like Jordan Duke Lamar on your radar? And John is asking, would you like to fight Jack Shaw?
Dave, the first question again, is Tom Duke Lamar on my radar?
So Chris is asking, is Tom Duke Lamar on your radar? And John Sloan is asking, would you ever like to fight Jack Shaw one day?
Yeah, Tom Dukin was still on my radar, just like the rest of them. But I think I'm actually ranked above him now. So I wouldn't say, you know, I'm chasing the fight, but 100%, you know, I'd take the fight if I got offered it. So yeah, that's Tom. And as for Jack, mate, I said to Cage Warriors that I'd fight Jack when I was back on Cage Warriors, and instead I've got the Italian guy, Luca Iovine, instead. So, you know, if Jack Shaw can get to the UFC and get up to where I am, then 100%, let's do it.
That'll be an amazing fight one day. I can't wait to see that one.
He's just got to catch up.
Yeah.
Well, we've got Abu Rakan, Abu Hamdan asking, Brad, can we see you more often? And you're going to appear for your fans more often? Obviously a big fan there. And Olga Rubin asking, will Brad also slap her? So, like Nathaniel said, a business for Brad there.
Yeah. I manage and coach Olga. So, if she wants me to slap her in her next fight, she's fighting in Bellator in Dublin, you know, not too long.
She's
so,
just joined the call, actually, Brad. Say hi, Olga.
Wow. There she is.
You missed me.
So you want to get slapped? Okay, I'm, yeah, of course.
Everybody
of course.
Keeps asking you if they want to slap you. So, like, can you slap me?
Of course.
I'm good. I don't need slapping.
Olga, can you turn your phone sideways for us?
Sideways, like this.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you. So we cut you short the other day, Olga, and I'm really sorry about that, but I wanted to get you back on because we hadn't finished. So what's it like training with these two guys?
I've been training with those two for the entire day. So, like, I don't miss you. I'm sorry.
Hey, but you did. Hey, you didn't step into the ring where me and the family were beating the crap out of each other.
Yeah. That was nice to watch, actually.
It didn't feel good for me.
Brad, I don't think we was beating the crap out of each other. I think it was a one-way game, at least.
Yeah, I've been nice to you,
that's
why.
Yeah.
Olga, who was winning?
Boys will be boys. I think it was a draw, really.
On the fence.
Nathaniel, I can't say anything. Brad is my coach.
Lewis, have you got any questions for Olga?
I mean, to be honest, I was watching the show the other day. Obviously looking forward to your fight. I just would like to know, sort of from a female perspective, what's it like being around these guys, the likes of Pickett, Nathaniel Wood, Mike Engadeau on a daily basis training, and how much is that improving your game?
Well, this is great because I can actually get pushed a lot more than I did before. So it kind of gets me out of my comfort zone. So I always feel like I'm improving and I'm making so many mistakes I can fix right now and not during the fight. Nathaniel, how many times did you submit me today? Seriously.
It wasn't that many.
A lot. Five or six. He's being modest.
No, it wasn't that many. I was using my weight. I've put on a bit of timber since my fight.
Is that a term that you're familiar with, Volga?
Well, I am now.
It means piling on the pounds. Yeah. Oh, hi, Bonnie.
Hello.
Are there any more questions for the boys, Lewis?
Let me just have a look back again. Sorry about this. Guys, shouting out Nathaniel. Congratulations on the last fight. A lot of people really want to know what Nathaniel's got on the radar next, but obviously Brad says London. It doesn't seem like we've got any more news for that at the moment. But I mean, I'd like to ask a few more questions about Nathaniel's last fight because it was a super impressive performance. I honestly thought you looked world-class against your opponent, especially the ground game, which, you know, you're not necessarily known for in your last few fights with Cage Warriors. It was more knockouts. Is that something you've been looking to sort of work on more or show more in your game?
No, not really. I always work on all of the areas anyway, whether it be wrestling, jiu-jitsu, striking, but... You know, not a lot of people actually know that I actually started with jiu-jitsu. So, you know, I don't think, I wouldn't really say I'm more a striker than a grappler. I just prefer to strike. That's where I prefer to be. It's more entertaining and, you know, I think that's what people want to see. But, you know, when it comes to the grappling, I've got it. So, you know, why not use it if I feel it's ready? You know, so obviously with that fight, I didn't even intend on going to the ground with him, but after I dropped him in the first and went on the floor, I felt, you know, there was nothing there. So I just thought, you know what, let's have an easy fight for once, you know, take him down, get the win. And then that way, you know, if there's a shot at UFC London, I'm fresh as a daisy for it.
Yeah, obviously two wins now, two submissions as well. It's got to feel good getting those finishes, obviously.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. At the moment, I think my win streak's 7 or 6, and they're all finishes. So, you know, it's nice to keep that finish streak going.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously, we've got Brad now. He's going to be competing in a few different things. The bare knuckle, the grappling. Are you interested in sort of competing in more things? Like, I know I went and watched Polaris in Cardiff a few weeks back. And, like, we saw Brett Johns compete on Polaris. Do things like that along with what Brad's doing?
Yeah, definitely. Polaris, I've actually been matched twice on it. But each time I had a fight. I ended up getting a fight booked around the same time, so I couldn't actually commit to it. So it's all just timing, you know. I really want to do some grappling competitions just for the fun of it, you know. I like competing; it's enjoyable. So don't think I'll be doing any bare knuckle stuff, you know. I'll leave that to Brad and let him do that. Maybe when I'm retired or something, but yeah, you know. For now, it's just going to be obviously, you know, working my way up in the UFC, and if any grappling stuff comes up, then you know, count me in.
Yeah, fair play. We've got another question coming in from Peter saying, can Brad reveal now that he's going to be fighting Floyd Mayweather at...
but he's only allowed three kicks.
I won't mind a bare knuckle fight of him, actually. It'd be pretty fun. I'll get, as long as I get fucking paid for it, you know?
Yeah. Olga, would you consider bare knuckle?
Maybe when I'm retired. Right now, I prefer my gloves on.
Sorry. You've got such a pretty face as well. Not that you don't, Brad. I didn't mean that.
Yeah, what's going on here? What's going on?
Whoops.
I feel I've been brought on to get rich mobbed. You know, everyone's like, oh, gets me.
No.
Olga, we've got a question coming in for you as well. I'm saying, which do you think? Which organization do you think has the best opportunities for women? Bellator or UFC? And that's coming from Chris Emmanuel.
It's a good question. The answer is what kind of category are we speaking? Because 145 is definitely for Bellator. 135 is for UFC. So the opportunity just is up to the weight class.
Okay, yeah. No, that's fair enough. Which, if you get, you had the option to go to either one, which now, which one would you pick?
I'm a featherweight. I don't see myself going down to bantamweight soon. So I'd rather stay in Bellator until I decide maybe to go down to a different category.
Fair play.
And with Cyborg out of contract, would you love her to go to Bellator?
Well, Cyborg is great. You know, I would love to fight her. She actually said she'll be coming to Tel Aviv soon. So I actually texted her if she wants to train with me. And she said, yeah, sure. Texted me her number. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
So for right now, I'd rather work out with her. If I can fight her, I'd love it.
Oh, my God. That would be amazing.
We've also got a question, for another one for Nathaniel coming in. And they're asking, Nathaniel, which of your defeats annoys you the most? And which one would you like to get back the most?
The Adam Philpott one, only because, you know, I don't think the fight should have been stopped. But I get on with Adam Philpott now, so, you know, I'm not bothered about, obviously, a rematch or anything like that. But yeah, that was a fight where it was for a title. I got my nose broken in the first round. They said, do you want to carry on? I said, yep. And then in the third round, you know, when I actually was in a dominant position, they decided to stop the fight because of a broken nose, even though it was no different from the first round. But, Dana, the fight game.
Yeah, no, fair play. I mean, is that something, this is another question for all three of you guys, really, but, you know, defeats are such a big part of MMA. You rarely see fighters going undefeated. Is it something you think you learn a lot more from in a lot of ways than just 100%. Going straight without losses?
100%. You don't learn from your wins, really, you know, but when you come up with a loss, you know, you come away learning a hell of a lot more, and it gives you another hunger, you know. When you've tasted defeat, you definitely don't want to taste it again, so it gives you that extra push.
Yeah, but also it's like, obviously, when you're winning all the time, you're not thinking about changing things up. When you lose, you're forced to change. You're like, okay, I'm not invincible. I'm not the best guy in the world. There is always improvement to do. So that's why losing, if you have the right mindset, you'll go on and train harder and try and fix those holes in your game.
Olga?
My intake is a bit different because I haven't tasted defeat yet, but I am changing all the time. All the time. I know I will be defeated eventually, and I'm going to learn from this as much as I learn from any kind of victory I have. So,
but the answer is you don't know because nobody's ever beaten you.
I'm undefeated, man.
Brad, since we've been on air, you've been offered an MMA fight in the comment section of our interview. My brave. Yeah.
Really? Really? The thing with me is, if I'm honest, training for a boxing match, which I'm doing, is a lot easier on my body. You know, like,
right.
All I have to do is hit pads, run, do a bit of sparring, strength and conditioning. When you're doing MMA, like, I'm getting ready for the grappling competition, and it's a lot tougher on my body, grappling, wrestling. You know, it's a lot tougher on my body to be able to recover, you know. So for me to get back into MMA, it'd have to be something quite lucrative, to be honest, you know.
Yeah. Fair play. Have we got any other questions, Lewis?
Sorry about this. My phone's going a little bit slowly today. I don't know if that's why it took me so long to jump on. Let me just go back through. Yeah. Brave would like to get Brad on there. What is your thoughts on Brave, Brad? I know they've started to make a little bit more of a Belfast last year.
Brave is actually becoming like a really good organisation. When I say it's like a good world organisation, is because they're not in one place. They're travelling around the world, doing good shows in Africa, Europe, Asia. They're going everywhere. So, like, it's a very good show. They're doing a lot of good signings, getting a lot of good people on their shows. That's what it's all about. You know, that's how you build. You know, you build, always build with reputation and what fighters you can bring in, and they're attracting some big names and some big fighters. So, I think they're doing well.
Yeah, definitely. There's quite a few people commenting about it now, saying Brave need to come to Scotland. Brave need to sign more UK fighters. I know they actually signed a Welsh bantamweight, Aidan James, a few months ago, and he fought out in Pakistan recently and got a good win. So it's definitely one of those things that's up and coming on the scene. And like I said, I think the more organisations, the better, really, isn't it? It's sort of competition and more pay for fighters then, hopefully.
Yeah, because at the moment now, also, I mean, there's not a lot of shows around, especially in the UK. You know, it's just like Cage Warriors is that mid-tier sort of show. That's it. Then you have smaller shows. There's only one real mid-tier show in the UK, you know. There's no other shows there. ACB is not really coming to England anymore. It's changed to ACA. That's not... the talk about shows coming out here, but I don't know if that's going to happen. Now we have, like, Bellator. I'm doing a lot of UK shows as well now, but that's like a big organisation as well. So there's no like mid organisations really.
What's your thoughts on Bellator making more of an effort in the UK now, Brad? Because I know you had Nathan sign with them recently. He's going to be on that Newcastle card, isn't he?
I think Bellator are very clever, because what they're doing is, if you start signing kind of level fighters, you're taking the cream from the crop. You know, like, you're taking all the good guys. To feed the UFC, because at the moment that's Cage Warriors. Everyone thinks, oh, I'll go to Cage Warriors and get into the UFC, but now they're getting, oh, but Bellator want me and they're going to pay me a lot of money, I might go there. And then that's, so I think it's very clever what they're doing.
Yeah,
well,
fair play.
I've got a question, how did Ash Grimshaw end up headlining a card in, is it in Oklahoma?
Yeah, he's fighting in Oklahoma. He's been around for a very, very long time. You know, he's actually been fighting longer than I have, you know. I think it's great that he's got an opportunity and straight into a main event. It's a main event because he's fighting a top class athlete, and he's a top class athlete. So he's straight in there, and he's at the age now where he's not in there to make up the numbers. He's got to roll that dice, and like if he beats him, boom, he's straight in for a title shot. You know, so
I definitely wasn't surprised to see him signed or to see him headline. I was just surprised it was in Oklahoma.
Yeah, no. So I think Ashley's one of those guys. He's not a local fighter; he's an international fighter as well. So. So I'm looking forward. I'm going to be out there as well with him. I'm a busy man before my fight. I've got everyone fighting. Yeah.
Awesome. And Olga, you, as well as training at Titan, you're training at Richmond as well. And
that's the question.
You were training at Richmond when we interviewed you on Monday. Was that one off?
Yeah, I was training with Charlotte.
Cool. So
we're drilling together.
And do you not know any bantamweights that we can get to fight her on the rock?
She has to have a fight. She's so ready to get a pro.
Do you not know any girls you can call up?
She should start calling out people.
It's really hard. Can
you make 135?
I don't think by March the 2nd. Maybe if I get a gastric band, I'll book in tomorrow. It'll be like that Ngannou knockout of Overeem.
Well, do you reckon you'll get Charlotte that bad already?
I'm not calling anyone out. Certainly not her.
I see Charlotte sitting there like, finally someone.
Oh, Chris, it's a shame you're in contract. You could fight her.
I'd rather have her as a training partner because she's kicking my ass.
any more comments, Larissa? No, I promised Nathaniel he could get off after half an hour, and I've lied.
Yeah, no, there's nothing else coming through at the moment in terms of comments on Facebook. So if obviously Nathaniel wants to shoot, if he's got to go.
Guys, I love you. I'll leave you.
Let us know as soon as you hear about London.
I will do. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for doing it. Cheers.
Cheers, guys. See ya.
Bye, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Have you got to get home as well, Brad?
I'm just sitting in my car. So
where are you?
In Weybridge. I went and done some strength conditioning, didn't I? So timing-wise, there's no point. I would never got home in time. So I just got out and just sat in my car. Then I'll drive home.
And I know you had one more thing to shout out before you go. You were looking for someone to help with a promo video.
We're always looking to the Rock brand, the bigger and stronger. And I think nowadays with the digital side of things, of people like to watch videos more than just seeing pictures and stuff like that. So it'd be good to get some good videos and stuff like that. Yeah, so we're gonna be looking to do that. Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for taking the time and sitting in the Batmobile to speak to us.
No problem at all. No problem at all. I have to say one thing. I got one message while I've been on here. I got a shout out, big shout out to my partner in crime with One Punch Management, is Kevin. Yeah.
So, oh, Kev. Hi, Kev.
You know you're saying this just because he's watching.
Yeah, Kev. Yeah, he's always.
You know what you're saying about him behind closed doors. You know that.
Yeah, exactly. he knows as well, but he wants me to say nice things here. Yeah,
well, Kev, we're not going to speak to you until you get Olga her meal prep sorted. A meal prep sponsor for Olga, please.
Pull your finger out, mate. Yeah, pull your finger out.
Out of where?
Exactly.
That's another weird English expression, Olga. Cheers, Brad. Thank you.
No problem, guys.
Take care.
Bye bye.
Take care.
Don't be late tomorrow. Oh, good. Don't be late. 50 burpees.
50 burpees. I know. Yeah. I know.
All right. See you guys. Bye bye.
See ya. So, Olga, now they're gone, you can say what you really think about them.
They crack me up.
What other weird English expressions of those have you picked up since you've been here?
I'm used to that. I'm not even paying attention. I'm like, sounds weird. Okay. I'll take it. No problem.
Awesome. Well, is that an ironing board in the background we've got there?
Is that what?
Is it an ironing board behind you?
Yes. Yes, it is.
I like the cover.
But this is actually my mom's apartment, so I have nothing to do with the decor.
It's in a super cool part of town, though.
Yeah, I like it very much.
And how far is that from getting to Titan?
That's an hour and a little bit. So
it's quite a lot.
Yeah, but it's not that bad. I'm used to traveling 2 hours at least in Israel. At least I used to.
And are you training twice a day at the moment?
Twice, sometimes three times.
So do you stay at the gym in between?
Sometimes. No, but usually it's different gyms. So I have to train in the morning, I go back to home, and then to a different gym in the evening.
Where do you do your strength and conditioning?
I'm doing it with Josh from the Athletic Edge. It's in Hampton Wick.
Right, okay.
Shout out.
See
you tomorrow.
So how often do you do the strength and conditioning side of things?
At the moment I'm doing it for once a week right. with Josh and a couple more times for myself.
Oh, got a bit of interference there. I don't know what's going on there.
Sorry, that was me just changing over from my iPad to my phone. Sorry.
You're sideways, Lewis. That's all.
Hold on a sec. Yeah.
Hi, Lewis.
Hi there. You had this problem the other day, Olga. How did you get the thing to switch back to sideways? You know.
I just turned my phone. It's not that hard, you know. Just turn it.
It's in portrait now. That's all.
Right.
Do you wanna? I don't know if you want to rejoin.
Yeah, I'll
In landscape.
I'll go out and I'll come back in. Okay, sorry.
Okay. Olga, sorry. I promise. We've just moved over from Facebook Live to doing it this way. So
this is so awesome.
It's really a learning awesome. A learning process for all of us. Sometimes people pop up when you're not expecting them. And on Monday, I was a bit all over the place. It was my first time hosting. So.
Now it's much better. You already work with three people at the same time. So
it's a learning process, trying not to talk over people as well.
So, especially if Brad is on, then it's just him.
Well, and then they were like having some banter with each other. So
it's always like that. It's always like that.
So is it, yeah, in the gym, is it any different at home? Is it the same kind of banter in Israel that it is here, or are these guys just next level?
Next level, yeah, definitely.
And who's the worst? Who's the latest to class?
What do you mean?
Like, who turns That's up the latest? No. Like, who's never on time? Out of everyone at Titan.
Usually they're all scared of Brad because he has them doing burpees, you know.
It's a
true thing. He's not really saying that. Just, it happens.
And
so most of the time, I'm not going to say names. I'm going to spar tomorrow with these guys. Please don't make me bleed more than I should.
You promised big scoops.
not my teammates. That's embarrassing.
So, okay, what scoops have you got for us?
Now I need to think of one. Thanks.
See, it's easier just to take the piss out of your teammate.
I'm always taking piss of everybody. See, that's what happens. Now you caught me.
You were telling me on Monday though that you played the piano. That's right, isn't it?
My mom is a classical musician, so I've been playing the piano for 12 years.
That's amazing. Do you have a piano in the flat?
Right now, no, but at my mom's house in Cobham, they do. So sometimes I play.
Oh,
I promise I'll post something next week when I'm there.
Oh, yeah, do it. That would be amazing. Yeah. And I'm sure I've asked you this before, but I can't remember. What music do you walk out to?
This time I'm trying to do something really cool. I'm trying to mesh up a couple of things. And it's going to be a big surprise. I really hope it works.
It'd be awesome if you could mix in some of your mum playing the piano.
A bit less, but I'm gonna give you a hint. It's gonna be a nursery rhyme.
Okay, that could be scary, like creepy scary.
Yeah, but it's gonna be awesome.
So will you do the wolf hat on the scales again next time?
I think I found my thing.
I love that. I love the whole thing, especially as Cindy Dandoy always dresses up as something really mad and crazy.
She stepped up the game. I had to do something. And I'm like, okay, I think I should continue with that.
Oh, well, you dressed up, but you looked bloody cool as well. So
thank you. I promise nothing less than great this time.
I'm excited. How many weeks is it to Dublin now?
It's 5 and a bit. And so it's already goosebumps. It's the first time I'm ever fighting outside Tel Aviv, outside of Israel. So I'm really pumped about it.
Well, I was really campaigning to get you on the Newcastle card because I wanted you in the UK, but at least we've got you in Dublin.
Well, it's still close. You can
It's very close. I'm going to try and get there. I think Lewis is joining the call. I can see his little icon. I just can't see him. Oh, hey, you're sideways still, Lewis.
Yeah, I don't know why it's not doing it for me, guys. I'm really sorry. I think my phone updated this morning, so it's like being a bit of a pain now. I'm not certain what's going on with it, but it's keeping me on this portrait version.
We'll take you in portrait then.
Thank you, guys.
Odd, since we've been chatting, Olga, Kev has said, Kev is Olga's manager, by the way. Kev has said, don't tell them anything about the walkout song.
I said nothing. I gave a hint.
You shouldn't have said that because now we're going to ask about the walkout song.
Lewis, you were gone right now. When we spoke about the walkout song, it's gone.
She said it'll be it's a mishmash with a nursery rhyme in it at some point. So that's all she'll tell us for now.
You missed it.
Yeah, sorry. I'm
you
very
missed
sorry.
The scoop.
It's technical issues at the minute. We're still quite new to doing these hangouts ones, so yeah, my apologies for missing the little bit there, Olga. But
we can laugh it off
and ask some questions. I mean, I what I'd like to ask you, Olga, is just tell, obviously, because I'm not as familiar with yourself as Katie, but sort of how you got into this, and sort of what's your goals now coming up in the next couple of months?
Well, it's really funny because I started, like, I was signed with Bellator, I think it was February or March last year. Mm-hmm. And November was my first fight in this contract. And my idea was, like, to be a very active fighter. That's what I wanted to be. Like, an active fighter. I had no huge goals. And then during the camp, I was like, okay, goals changed. I want to be the champ. This is not enough. So I have a big division. I have a big, talented, stacked division, and I really want them all. So I just want to climb up the ladder.
I think it could come really soon for you. I reckon it could be this year. If the fights go the way that I think they will for you, would you agree with me? You think there could be a title shot at the end of the year if you're
definitely
active enough this year?
Definitely.
That'd be amazing. And I know that you've spoken before about being a party girl in your youth.
Yeah.
I have to say that you absolutely smashed the 10-year challenge.
I know, right? And this was a really light core photo I posted because I had photos of me like passed out with vodka in my hand, like, but that was a bit too much for my audience. Yeah, I had a rough time. I didn't know what I was, what I wanted to be, and it's a bit different 10 years afterwards.
Is it amazing though to look back on that and just like literally in two pictures see how far you've come?
Yeah, it's amazing. My husband was like, that's not like, that's the same woman, but with different, like, everything.
You can
it's
just
really
see
hard to explain.
That not just your physical appearance, but the kind of like drive and ambition, like, is written all over your face in the picture from this year.
I've said it like the way it is. I'm on a quest. I'm on a quest of becoming a champion. It takes time. I have time.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'm just going to check if there's any more questions for you. Oh, your husband said that your son's watching.
Oh, Leo. Hi, baby.
Oh, that is so cute. Hi, Leo.
You know, this is crazy. I've been singing him lullaby songs every night since I got to the UK, and we're trying to like make him fall asleep together. And then there was one time I couldn't, and I felt so bad. My training the next day was shit, completely shit. So it's hard being a mom and doing what I do, but
I'm
nailing it, I think.
You are. Like, and it must be tough being away from him for so long.
It's crazy. I know I'm staying here for 2 weeks, and then I'm going back home for 2 weeks, and then I'm here all the way through camp, all the way till Dublin.
Yeah.
So this is going to be hell in that
I know a lot of fighters say, though, massive sacrifices like that make them work even harder because they're not going to make that sacrifice just to come up short. So it's like, no,
exactly.
I have to make this worth it.
Exactly. I want him to look back like 10 years later and say like, okay, mom, I'm really happy you did it. I'm really happy for you. You've done something with yourself. You became what you wanted to be. And not like, you know what? Like, you're not really a role model. Might start crying.
Oh, no, don't cry, Olga. But...
Yeah.
I'm done crying.
I will say that virtually every post that you put up, I remember hashtag role model. I just think it's really inspiring to see someone going after it like that. And especially somebody who you said you were a party girl when you were younger. It just goes to show that, like, you know, anyone, if they want to turn their life around, they can, and give their life a direction, whatever that is, not just fighting.
Yes, of course. It's not just fighting, but when, you know how many times people have told me, like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you cannot get a decent, like, profession out of it. You're just like, it's a hobby. You're putting way too much into something that you're not going to get, like, anything from, so...
Yeah. Yeah, that must
can
be
Can I
tough.
Swear?
Yeah, you can swear.
That's for all the people who did not believe in me.
Fuck the haters.
No time for haters, guys.
And you're getting
a
lot of love from around the world as well. Some fans in Auckland, in New Zealand.
That's awesome.
No, it's cool. Have you got any more questions for Olga Lewis?
To be honest, I think I'm afraid now to ask any because I don't know what I missed. But
fair enough.
Just obviously nice to speak to you, Olga, and
nice to speak to you, Liz.
Gonna be nice to continue watching you fight and hopefully see you do well in the next couple of months and obviously in the future as well.
Awesome, thank you so much.
An amazing fight with Sinead Kavanagh on Bellator Dublin.
Yeah, best of luck.
February 23rd.
February 23rd.
This is going to be one hell of a fight, that's for sure.
Cannot wait, Olga. Thank you so much for coming back on tonight as well. Really appreciate
it. Thank you for the platform.
Thank you.
Bye, Olga.
Bye, guys.
So there we go. Katie, I'm really sorry. I'm still in portrait mode.
You look fine to me. I say we carry on like this.
I don't know what's going on with it, to be honest, but...
Typical, eh?
Yeah, we're on, we're talking, so let's just run with it, I think. They give me, like, all kinds of advice in the group, and nothing's working. The only thing I did press, and it was, like, that really weird distortion, so I think we better leave that one go.
You're in portrait, but you're clear, and I can hear you without an echo and everything, so nothing major, I don't think.
No, that's okay, then. That's the main. But, yeah, I mean, at this point now, it's, what, 9 o'clock now, so... I'll give a little introduction for this second part of the show for us. Obviously, we're going to be hoping to get Super Sage Northcutt on in just a minute. I believe that all the invites have been sent out to him, so hopefully he should be popping up to us soon. Obviously, my name is Lewis Smith, and this is my colleague Katie Hunter. So, yeah, for everyone watching, we're just about to get Super Sage Northcutt in. And any questions, guys, if you're watching on Facebook, please drop them down below, and we'll get them in as soon as we can.
And there's the man himself now. There he is.
Sage, how are you, sir?
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm doing good. Thanks.
Yeah.
Hey, Sage.
Hey, how's it going?
So, yeah, Sage, just want to say, first of all, a big thank you for coming on, buddy. Obviously, we really appreciate the time. Obviously, I'm Lewis, and this is my colleague, Katie Hunter. So, really happy to speak to you today.
Hey.
We'll jump straight into the questions, Sage. Obviously, you've recently signed for ONE Championship. A huge signing. A lot of sort of media and press around that. Can you just tell us... You know, how this signing came about, and what's your thoughts now on being with the ONE Championship?
Yeah, so being with ONE Championship is awesome. They're a great organization. They're massive. And I think the last fight, I went to go watch one of their fights in Singapore. They had 35 million viewers right there watching, which is super cool, tuning in. So definitely a great organization. After my last fight with the UFC, my contract ended. And the last fight, I won by knockout in the second round. At 170 pounds, which is cool. And then during that time period, I had a 90-day time period. And after that 90 days, I had time to be able to negotiate and talk with other organizations. So ONE Championship was incredible, and I'm excited to fight for them.
Yeah, brilliant. And obviously, you made your name with the UFC, as you said. You came through Dana White's Looking for a Fight season. Very, very exciting show. What, looking back now, what's your experience with the UFC been like now you've left? How will you look back in your time there?
Well, you know, the UFC was awesome. They're a great organization, too. I was blessed to be able to be 5-0 as a lightweight for the UFC at 155 pounds. So that was great. And then having all the fights that I had with the UFC was a great experience. So now I'm excited to fight for ONE Championships. They're awesome. So,
yeah, they're definitely on the rise. You know, you've got a lot of great fighters signed. Obviously, Mighty Mouse Johnson, which is a huge sign, and he's like the best champion ever. Eddie Alvarez, a former lightweight champion, and yourself. So they're definitely a company that's on the rise, aren't they?
Absolutely, yeah, they definitely are. They have some of the best strikers I've seen. And Demetrius Johnson, he's incredible. And Eddie Alvarez, incredible. So definitely, it's cool that they're coming to America too. They're going to be playing live on TNT and I forget what the other network's called, but that'll be really neat getting a show in America too.
Yeah. I know, Katie, obviously you're a big Sage Northcutt fan, as we all are. What was your thoughts, obviously, when you heard Sage had signed from the UFC to ONE Championship?
I was quite shocked that they let you go, Sage. I thought that they would really want to hang on to you badly, but I guess ONE just had an offer that was too attractive for you to refuse.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you know, I don't think the UFC wanted me to go. They offered me, we're talking about fighting in the top 10, and they offered me to go fight Damian Maia as wow. I was actually negotiating and signed the contract with ONE Championship. So I had already signed that, and I was looking forward to fighting for ONE. So I'm so excited to fight for ONE. Their organization is incredible. When I was watching it, they actually had fireworks coming out in the arena. And then when the fighters walk out, and then after the champions kept their title or a new champion won the title, they had like gold confetti shooting up. It was the coolest thing.
Yeah. I actually went out to Singapore last year to watch ONE Championship, and they definitely put a huge kind of emphasis on the production value. So you see a lot more kind of impressive walkouts and fireworks. Is that something that you liked about them?
Absolutely. You know, for me, I was just about the entertainment. And then what I liked also was they show a different side of the fighters. So their organization is totally different than any other organization, totally different than the UFC. Actually, like completely opposite, actually. You show like the character of the fighters, who they are, their background, which I really, really liked. And as Mr. Chachi said, he kind of brings the fighters up like superheroes. So everyone's got respect. The people that are working for Mr. Chachri in ONE Championship are all super respectful and great people.
Yeah. Something you're known for, Sage, as well, is being sort of very, very polite, very respectful. You always say, sir, Mr. Chachri. Is that something that you kind of fit in more now with sort of these Asian organizations that value respect more than kind of like the UFC that kind of promote more shit talking, really?
Absolutely. You know, I think what's behind all the martial arts is like the respect, the honor, the character, like who you are when people aren't watching. So, and how you treat people. That's how the martial arts started. You have respect and honor. So I think the people overseas and the Asians, Japanese, everybody, United Kingdom, everybody overseas, they kind of stick with that. And I think it's very neat to see.
Yeah.
And you're like a superhero already, Sage.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate it.
Do we have any questions coming in from Facebook, Katie?
Yeah, I'm sure we do. Cameron wants to know if Sage will be training more in Asia now that you'll be fighting there more often.
You know, so right now I'm actually in Sacramento and I'm training at Team Alpha Male. I've been here for over a year. I will be going to check out the events, I believe. So definitely get some training in over in like Singapore and different places too while I'm at it. But I could definitely see that.
You train with a couple of guys that we know from over here. One of my old teammates, Corey McKenna, trains right? at Team Alpha Male sometimes. And
yes.
Lewis, quite a few of your friends train there too, right?
Yeah, I think obviously you've got Mason. Do you know Mason Jones? He trains out there a little bit. So he
do.
Lives just by us. So, yeah.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah, really nice guy and great martial arts.
A big victory he had recently as well. So obviously we're predicting big things from Mason over here. And obviously great to have him training over in Team Alpha Male with you guys. It really is a great center for martial arts, isn't it?
Absolutely, definitely. Yes, I believe it's one of the best gyms in the world. They're incredible.
Yeah, and you have been to a few gyms now. Obviously, you trained up in Canada with GSP and Faraz. What kind of do you look for when you go to a gym, and what makes you stay at a place like Team Alpha Male?
You know, it for me, it's about learning fast and having someone that really puts time in with you. So, Uriah Faber has been real hands on with me, putting the time in, helping me out. All the coaches there, Danny Castillo, Chris Holdsworth, Alex Munoz, Mike Mallett, different ones like that. They're always like super hands on and helping out. So, I think it's that and the camaraderie with the team. Everyone, they're like brothers, kind of. They hang out together. They make each other better. It's not like when you go in the gym, you're not fighting for your life. And even though you train harder than like any gym on the planet, you're not like fighting for your life, trying to beat the other guy up. You're trying to help each other out. So that's really
since
neat.
TJ's left anyway.
Well, I was never here when TJ was here.
No,
so I never had experienced any of that.
That's funny. So a few more questions that have come in. What was the best and the worst thing about the UFC in your experience?
You know what? I mean, the best thing, I guess, it's hard to say the best thing, would be, I don't know, getting to meet all the fans here in America, just getting to meet people. I think it's always the best, because without the fans and stuff, it's nothing else but like a fight with no one watching. So I think the fans are what makes the sport so much fun and it makes it so unique. The worst thing, I can't really think of anything bad. So, just the best thing.
You're such a nice guy, Sage.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
And one more. I can't imagine you answering this one, but what's the best insult to get into your opponent's head?
Best insult to get into my opponent's head? Ooh. Oh, man, I don't know. One time in a fight, I don't remember exactly which fight it was, but I hit one of my opponents, and I knew it hurt him. And I remember saying, like, man, I was like, man, you're getting tired. I was like, man, I'm wearing you out. I'm about to knock you out. Because I could feel it. I could feel them getting tired. I could feel them getting worn out. And they wanted to give up. But I guess, I don't know if it was an insult, but I could definitely see that.
I think, were you talking to Mickey Gall in that fight as well?
I don't know, actually. I might have said something. I think I just told him to get up. But that's before I had any kind of training and I was actually in college at the time and fighting an illness.
What's the best insult someone's given to you that's going in your head, Sage, if any?
Oh, man, that's tough. I don't know any insult. I don't know anything that's ever got into my head that someone said. I'm sure there's probably something, but I can't. Actually, I don't know. I don't think there's anything. I can't think of anything.
Yeah. No, fair enough.
Yeah.
So, solid mentally, that means.
Yeah, I don't know who would. I don't know who would try to give me an insult. That wouldn't be cool.
Yeah. No, I know there was a bit of talk between you and Mickey, wasn't there? And Mickey seems like he's got some good smack talk. So he's definitely an intimidating guy as well, Mickey Gall. So I wouldn't want to sort of guess smack talk by him if it was me, but different story for you, I guess, because you're a fighter. But
Right.
Sage, obviously now, you know, you've signed for one championship. You're going into a really strong division there. You know, likes of Martin Nguyen and some really talented fighters. What's your goal over the next few years in that promotion?
Well, you know what I really like about ONE Championships is that they have not only the MMA, but they also have the kickboxing and the Muay Thai. So
yeah.
I think this is a great organization for me to be able to show off, show my different skill sets that I have. So I believe I can go out there and win the kickboxing world championship. And I believe I can go win the MMA world championship and go compete in Muay Thai and win the world championship in that too. So that's what I'm really looking forward to.
Lots of different options. And do you have anything lined up? I know you said you were going to fight in Singapore, I think, but have you got any opponents or anything named yet?
Oh, you know, nothing official yet. Still waiting to hear the official date and who it's going to be.
So we can't get any exclusives on the show tonight then?
Oh, not yet. Once I know.
Yeah.
How soon do you think a title shot would come, Sage?
Well, you know, it'll be my first fight in ONE Championship, so obviously I'm not sure how soon, but for the UFC, I was going to be fighting the top 10 in the UFC, and I believe that whoever they would have given me in the UFC, I would have gone out there to perform my best and win, so hopefully not too long.
And one more comment on here, Lewis, is the viewers want you guys to compare six packs.
Me and Sage.
Yeah.
I've got like just one big belly, so I don't think I'm gonna...
Oh, that's funny.
I don't want to scare the viewers, so I'm not going to bother getting mine out. Sorry, see.
Oh man, y'all are funny.
No, fair enough. Who asked that comment, Katie? I want to know. I want their name.
Peter Knox.
Peter Knox. So, just for sake to know, Peter Knox is actually the owner of MMA UK. So, I kind of guess he'd want to try and set me up with something like this. And
so he's the boss, so he has to do it, Sage.
Oh, so I'm funny.
I'm not going to bite for this one tonight.
And one more story at your expense, Lewis. Sage, can you give Lewis some tips on how to get more volume in his hair?
Oh, that's funny. Well, you know.
What do you use on it?
Oh, man, I always change it up. I have like a got to be glued hair gel. It's pretty good. It's more of like a stiff. It's like water resistant, I think. So that way it doesn't like sweat in your face. I have like soft ones. You've seen like the Axe commercials where the guy jumps in the water and he comes out with fish on his hair. Well, I don't want that all the time. So I switch it up with some soft hair gels. But yeah,
you're gonna have to write some of these down and send me a text later, Sage. Get some tips over to me, like.
Right?
And then Lewis will wear his hair like that for our next interview with you.
Yeah, I will definitely get a haircut and have a Sage Northcutt haircut for the next interview. If I can get some tips. I'm not sure yet, though.
That's funny.
Sage, just briefly, for people who are not so familiar with yourself, I know, obviously, you've got a huge fan base, but just for the people who are not so familiar with yourself, how did you get into MMA, and what's your journey been in this? Because you've been at it since you were a very young kid, and you?
Right. So I started martial arts when I was about 4.5 years old. I started off with karate, and I started competing all around the world, then competing on world teams, won world championships for karate several times, and then was competing in kickboxing and amateur boxing at the time. And then after that, I started mixing in when I was about 12 years old. I started mixing in wrestling and jiu-jitsu on and off. And then when I was doing all that, I was like, man, I was still competing in karate at the time, kickboxing. I would hit my opponents, and I was like, man, I just want to grab this guy and take him down. I want to, like, choke him out or something. So when I was, like, 16 or 17, I had, like, my first MMA fight, and I started fighting MMA, and now fought pro for I think, 5 or 6 fights, I think, before the UFC. And then came in the UFC being the youngest fighter in history, one of the youngest fighters in history, being 19. Fastest fighter to ever want to fight, so really neat.
Yeah, and you say obviously about being the youngest fighter. You did get a little bit of criticism initially when you first joined the UFC. Was that something that affected you at all? Because I know, obviously, you got on the show with Dana White, and people were saying, you know, this guy's too young. But obviously, you got in there, you proved yourself, you got some good victories. Did that ever get you at all, or was it just something that you didn't care about?
No, never really got to me. I think, I mean, I saw it always as like a bonus. I'm young. I was 19 years old, but it gives me more time to learn and be one of the best people of all time. Because I believe now I'm only 22. I have all this time to be able to get my skill set and become the best. If I'm doing how I'm doing or how I was doing the UFC at the age I am, imagine like another year down the line or 2 years. And if you think about it, I've only had really 1 year of training MMA. Which sounds crazy. I've done different martial arts, but I've actually only had 1 year of training MMA, and that's at Team Alpha Male. That's my only time. I've won my last 3 fights the whole time I've been at Team Alpha Male, so that's my only time I really considered me actually having training. Otherwise, yeah. I was in high school and I was in college.
Yeah. You definitely seem like you found a home there now as well. You definitely seem more happier than you have been in previous places, I would say.
Definitely. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Look, is there anything else on Facebook we got coming through, Katie?
No, just a lot of people watching and giving Sage a lot of love.
Nice. Thanks. Yeah. Hey, what time is it there?
So it's 9:15 over here in the evening. That's why I gave you a message earlier, because I was like, I don't want to sort of tempt to come on and it's the complete wrong time and we'll mess the whole thing perfect. Up. But yeah, we're a few hours in front, and I messaged you earlier and I was like, I don't want to give him a message if it's like 4 a.m. in the morning or something. So apologies if I woke you up earlier as well.
No, you're good.
So what does the rest of the day look like for you now, Sage? Obviously, it's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon over there. Is it off to training now or just enjoying the sun?
Yeah, you know, I was training this morning. Actually, I might go off-roading for a little bit. I just My brother has got his car dealership license. It's raining over here. But if you can see this, let me see. I don't know if I can switch the camera around, but I got a Jeep up. I might take it off-roading.
Wow. Okay.
So, yeah, go have a little bit of fun with that in the rain.
That's an absolute beast.
That's pretty cool. I mean, you're lucky because you get quite a lot of sun over there, Sage. Over here at the moment, it's always raining or snowing or freezing cold. Oh, really? So you're definitely lucky with the weather out in California, I would say.
Yeah, right. Yeah, normally it's always sunny.
Just for people as well, Sage, you know, you talk a bit about off-roading, but what do you do in your free time? What does Sage Northup get up to when he's not training or not kicking people's ass in the ring?
Well, you know, I like to go off-roading, fishing. I have a four-wheeler and a dirt bike, so I go take that out. I play a little bit of games with my brother. Got a PlayStation.
Yeah.
So I play a little bit, like Call
Fortnite?
Of Duty, stuff like that.
You any good on Fortnite?
Fortnite, I'm decent at it. I haven't played too much of it, but I'm not bad. I seem to get lucky when I like drop down in the map. And somehow I always place like top two or three or one, like in every game I play, but I don't know how I luck out.
So my top finish is like 14th. I'm absolutely terrible at it. I don't know. What's your tactics? Do you hide out or do you just go? Because I always try and get the kills, but end up getting killed. I don't know. What's your tactic on that?
Well, you know, what's funny is I'm like, it's the funniest thing. Every time I play with my brother, I like purposely try not to hide. I like drop in the map next to everybody. They're like shooting each other and stuff. And I'm like, I try to attack them. I'll get like one kill and then I don't see anybody else the rest of the game until like the very end. The map starts like closing in and I'm trying to like run inside the map and I can't find anybody. I'm like, man, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, no, fair play. It's definitely good to take your mind off training with things like that, though, I would say. I mean, definitely. Like I said, it's good as well to kind of know what you get up to and for fans to know what you get up to. When you're not being Super Sage Northcutt and kicking ass in the cage. So, yeah, thanks for that bit of insight. But
one more question's come in, Lewis. Okay. Just somebody wanting to know how you manage your recovery between fights, Sage.
You know, after fights, I've been very blessed to not really have any serious injuries. So, but just recovery, I'm always back in the gym training like the next day, which is funny. But I play by ear to see like if I'm sore, if I'm swollen somewhere. But most of the time my recovery is like just taking the right supplements, eating the right amount of food, the right foods, and staying hydrated. That's pretty much it for me.
Good question. Well, I know obviously we're gonna let you go soon, Sage, so I just want to ask a couple more questions that I wanted to ask with regards to ONE Championship, because obviously you're going over to Asia. It's a new sort of rule set in a way, because with UFC, they score it on the 10-point must system. So, obviously, every round gets scored individually. But with ONE Championship, for people who don't know, the fight gets scored as one whole round. So, you know, you could be losing the fight and then come back in the last round really strong and end up winning. I mean, what's your thoughts on that different scoring system? And would you prefer that or the UFC?
Yeah, you know what? I really like the scoring of ONE Championship. I don't know which one I prefer yet. I'm excited to fight for one. And I think I actually prefer the ONE Championship scoring because it's really neat. The rule set's different too. If they're on the ground and they have both their hands on the ground, you can run in the face if you want, which is crazy. You can knee him in the head on the ground, kick him in the face. Totally different. You can't do that in the UFC, but I think that's like more dangerous, more like different things to watch out for. For me, it's more fun. You get to add more tools. And then I think it's just going to be really fun. Also, there's no stalling. I really like that about ONE. So, like, when I was watching the fights in Singapore, two people were just kind of, like, bouncing around. They weren't really doing much.
They get carded, don't they?
They got carded in, like, 5 seconds or 10 seconds. I was like, that's cool. So everyone's always going out there to, like, to win and go for the kill. I like that.
Yeah. So, do you feel you're going to have to alter your style of fighting that we're going there and kind of be a bit of a different person? Because, like I said, you can put, if you're in the UFC, you can point fight, but In ONE Championship, the fight is always on right the way through. Do you feel like that will encourage you to go for more finishes?
Yeah, for sure, definitely. Well, I'm always going for the finish. I think that makes other people go for the finishes too. And I think that's great because I'm always doing the same thing, but now I'm getting to add more things in, like knees to the face on the ground and kicks to the head and on the ground, which is neat. But now it's gonna be it'll make the other opponent try to go for the finish too, which is cool because that gives you more openings to do things, and there's no stalling, which is more fun, and you're always advancing like position, and it's really fun.
Yeah, no, fair play. I think it's definitely interesting to get a different set of rules, and it's always great to see fighters like yourself and DJ go over and compete in a different set of rules because I think you see then really how good martial artists you guys are. So I'm really looking forward to that. The last question from me, Sage, is to do with the weight cap because obviously you're a big boy. You know, you've got a lot of muscle for a lightweight. It's different weight cutting rules over in one as well, isn't it? Can you talk to us a little bit about that and how much, do you think that's going to be different for you?
Right. Yeah, definitely different. I don't think you're allowed to cut weight over in one. So
it's a hydration test, isn't it?
Hydration test, yeah. So they have that throughout the week and the day of the fight, I think, or the day of the weigh-in. So, it's going to be really neat. I'm going to be fighting at welterweight, it looks like, for my first fight probably, which is 170 to 185. So there's no cutting weight, and that'll be really cool.
So you prefer that, I'm guessing, yeah?
I think it's great. I think a lot of fighters cut so much weight. They're trying to be a certain weight, and they're really not themselves out there. So I don't know. I think it'll allow me to be able to put on more muscle and be my natural weight, be myself. And I'm only 22, so I'm obviously still growing, thicker, bigger, maturing, having my muscle mature. I think it's a great, great chance to have that happen.
So, yeah, brilliant. And what's your thoughts on the way the UFC do it then, Sage? Because obviously they obviously cut weight overnight and then get up on the Friday morning and weigh in. What's that experience like for you? Because we have a lot of fighters who prefer to do it that way. But then you get Dana White saying he wants to get rid of weight cutting that way and have it all on the Friday night. Which would you prefer out of those two options?
Well, you know, it's really interesting. They have all the people with USADA that's in the UFC. And the experts are saying, okay, you can cut this amount of weight. I think it's great that the UFC put a restriction on how much you can cut. So they're saying you have, I forgot what percentage it is of your body weight. But like if you're fighting at 155, when you walk in to start cutting weight, you can't be more than 168 pounds, I think, or 167. So otherwise, they're walking around with you all day, every day, and they're seeing what you're doing and how you're cutting weight. So I think that's smart with the UFC. But I don't know, not cutting weight just seems like the guys out there are going to be more exciting, more fun.
Yeah, no, of course. Well, Sage, thank you very much for joining us this evening. Katie, just before we let him go, is there any last takers for questions on Facebook?
There's a couple more. Who gives you the toughest rounds at Team Alpha Male?
Oh man, that's a tough one. I don't know. All the guys over Team Alpha Male are great, and we always give each other tough rounds. We're always going at it like a real fight. I can't really say anybody in particular, but we definitely get some great sparring in.
And one more. Somebody's asking if your dad still coaches you as well.
Yes. Yep. My dad still coaches me. He's always going to be one of my coaches since I was a little kid. So he does.
Awesome.
Yep.
Well, Sage, thank you very much for taking the time to speak to us today, buddy. Obviously, we managed to get there in the end with the time difference and got this sorted. And yeah, best of luck with one. And hopefully before your next fight, we'll have you on again, if that's okay.
Awesome. That sounds good. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks brilliant. So much, Sage.
You bet. That was fun. Thank you, guys.
Sage, you have a
thank
good day,
you,
buddy.
Sage. All
right. Bye. Have a good night. Bye.
Bye, buddy.
He's even goes. Nicer in real life, isn't
yeah.
he?
just when you think he can't get any nicer, you speak to him and, yeah, that guy's the real deal. He's a really nice guy and, really happy that he came on and had a chat with us.
He doesn't have a bad word to say about anyone or anything. And I knew he wouldn't be able to answer that question about even who was the toughest in sparring because he wouldn't want to upset anyone else.
Yeah, no, he's a really good guy. And like you said, I think people forget sometimes that he's only 22, you know, very, very young. And with an organization like ONE Championship now, I think the sky's the limit with him, really. He seems like the kind of guy that's really going to make it big over there to me.
Yeah.
You know, aesthetically he looks so great, he's so respectful, he's so talented, and the way he moves as well, I really think he's going to make a big noise over in ONE Championship. And I think it's actually a great move for him, to be honest, at this stage in his career.
Yeah.
I don't know if perhaps later on in his career he may go back and, you know, jump in with the UFC again in a few years time down the road, but right now I think ONE Championship is definitely a good place for him to be,
and he's going to get a lot more eyes on them as well.
Yeah, of course, definitely, especially over in like the States and even in the UK as well, because, you know, Sage is a big name now, even over here, isn't he? So
yeah. And just with the other two, like the Eddie Alvarez signing and the Mighty Mouse signing as well.
Oh, I know. It's going to be great. I think Mighty Mouse is in the Grand Prix now, isn't he? They're doing like a Grand Prix tournament.
Yeah. It's good.
So, I mean, and he's not going to have easy fights either. Like, you know, when you go to a new kind of promotion, how many times do we see guys get caught out? So it's definitely going to be difficult for DJ as well to get victories over there. And, you know, we're going to see, he's obviously known as the greatest flyweight of all time.
Yeah.
And obviously he's going to be tested in a new rule set and in a different part of the world now. So
To be the most competitive division at one at the moment as well, doesn't it? The flyweight division is quite big and a lot of good guys in that.
Yeah, definitely. So in just a moment, we are hoping to get Oban Elliott on for the people watching at home. Oban obviously is about to make his professional debut at welterweight with Cage Warriors. And that's going to be in Ebbsfleet Leisure Centre at Cage Warriors Academy Wales on the 2nd of March, I believe. So we're hoping to get Oban on in just a moment. And as with the rest of the show, guys, any questions, drop them down below and we'll get through as many as we can. And yeah, hopefully we're going to get Oban on in a second. But you saw Oban fight up in Colchester, Kate, you said, didn't you?
Yeah, it was awesome. First round KO. That was the semi-final of the Grand Prix. And then obviously you watched him win the Grand Prix at Cage Warriors 100.
Yeah, he looked awesome on that night. So he really is a big prospect. I know he's he trains about a bit as well. He trains up in Bristol. He does a little bit down in Tulare Combat and down in Chris Reese Academy. So, he's really putting in the work. He's got a big fight on his hands for his pro debut as well. He's fighting a guy, Brett Hassett, who's 4-4. So, I mean, a guy with 8 fights under his belt is going to be a hard matchup for anyone, I would say.
Yeah, that's a tough division, isn't it? The welterweight division at Cage Warriors.
Yeah, crazy. And Craig White's obviously coming back now as well. Thundercat White, he had a few fights up in UFC. Obviously lost 2 of his fights up in there against Magny and Diego Sanchez.
Really tough fights.
Tough fights, and now he's back. So I know he's on that London card. I don't think he's got an opponent matched up as of yet.
He hasn't yet, no. Well, not announced anyway.
Who do you think you'll have on that one? Because I know Dalby's going to be fighting Lahore for the interim belt.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been trying to work out who I think it's going to be. Because it's got to be someone near the top. I knew they wouldn't give him like a title shot or an interim title shot straight away. But, you know, he's always been there or thereabouts. So who do you think you'll have?
Well, I'm trying to think of it. I know Jan Zamini's obviously gone over to Bellator. There's a few different people who's matched up. Oban Elliott, how are you today, sir?
Hello, how are you?
All good, buddy. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Oban.
Hi, how are you? All right?
Good,
so,
thank
yeah,
you.
For everyone watching, this is Oban Elliott. Obviously, he's going to be competing, as we just said, March 2nd on the Ebbsfleet card, Cage Warriors Academy Wales, making his professional debut, not amateur debut. Oban, how are you feeling leading into this one, buddy? And what are you thinking on your pro debut?
It, hands down, it's got to be the best I've felt. It's with the pro rules as well, and you know, me at welterweight amateur, it was about time I dropped down, because it was just a case of keeping the weight on for me to be a welterweight. Like I was eating 4,000 calories a day, about 2 weeks out, just to keep the weight on. Otherwise, I'd be weighing in at about 160. So it's perfect. Yeah, I can't wait. I feel, you know, more I could go now, sort of thing. You know, I'm fit and ready to go. Like,
yeah, as always for yourself, you know, you're always up for it. So that's something that I think fans definitely appreciate when they watch you win the biz.
He's up for it as well, isn't he?
He's definitely
Brett,
is.
He's up for it. Yeah,
and like we were saying just now, obviously Brett's 4-4. So I mean, this is a big test for you, stepping up from amateur to face a guy with 8 professional fights. What are your thoughts on the opponent and the matchup in general?
I wouldn't. That's ideal for me. I wouldn't have had it any other way. I think if I'm fighting someone, unless they've got the amateur pedigree, similar amateur pedigree as I have, if I'm fighting another debut, it's a bit of a, you know what I mean? It's a bit of a toss up. Because I don't think Brett's had any amateur fights. So the level of amateur I've been competing at, because I haven't had an easy fight at amateur, compared to the level of pro, you know what I mean? Entry level pro versus, you know, the top amateurs in Europe, it matches up well, like, you know what I mean? So I think it's a brilliant matchup. It's perfect, I think, yeah.
Yeah, and that's actually something we spoke about on last week's show. Myself and James Hamilton were saying that the level of amateur now is so good that a lot of guys are just kind of being held back so they can get that experience. But really, they really are on the same level as kind of professionals with a few fights. Is that something you would say?
Exactly, yeah. And another thing to mention, I think, with the experience factor is I've been fighting. The whole competition thing is nothing new to me. I've been doing this for about 9-10 years now. Do you know what I mean? Fighting other people, you know, in a neutral venue. So as far as experience goes, I'm not out of my depth there. And if you look at my amateur record, one fight went past the first round. I think two fights went past the first minute. So if I stay amateur, I'm not trying to jazz myself up in any way, but if I stay amateur, logically, how am I going to get more cage time if I'm still fighting other amateur fighters? You know what I mean? The only way I'm going to get cage time is if I step up. You know what I mean? So I think it's the right move, and everyone in my circle agrees with me. So, you know, I'm going to listen to them. Like,
yeah. And you came up obviously now last year through that Cage Warriors welterweight tournament, the Grand Prix. Three fights. Obviously, your first one was voted as amateur fight of the year by MMA Wales. And that's against Josh Hudson, an amazing fight. You won that. Then obviously up in Colchester, you won. And obviously taking the belt then in Cardiff. What was that whole experience like last year for you? And obviously I saw you after it. You were absolutely elated, you know, with the trophy. What was the whole experience like fighting in Cardiff in front of that crowd?
It was like all the stars had aligned in my eyes with that. It was what dreams are made of, that sort of stuff. And I know it's only on a small scale so far with amateur, but I got a taste of it and it just felt like, oh, it's just made me more, it's motivated me more. It's you know what I mean? It's made me more addicted to this sport. Like, I can't wait to be doing that on the highest stages. And yeah, it was brilliant. Like, and especially with the change of opponent and that as well, it was all a bit bloody up in the air.
Yeah.
Right at the last minute, and it was just like, oh my god, you know. And then Live Forever, come on, through the speaker. Oh, it was something else. Like, that was, yeah.
And then went out there and got a re-naked choke. Not too bad, was it?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, shocked everyone as well. I went up to the Hewell. I went, oh, I didn't see that one coming, did you, mate? when I choked him. But yeah, he was a dangerous opponent. Like, I didn't have any. Of course, I would have stood with him, but the clinch happened, so I'm not going to let go of him, am I? So he comes to set my head off, and you know, I'm going to take him down, aren't I?
Yeah, no, fair play. And that's something that I think a lot of people like about you as well. You know, you've been known over the past past year or so as being a stand-up fighter, a really aggressive fighter, but you're also putting in the work, you're getting about a bit of training, and you are a very well-rounded fighter as well, aren't you?
Yeah, and another thing as well, I wouldn't say, you know, people always, all my mates, you know, I got young 21-year-old mates, they'll go, oh, you're knocking everyone out, blah, 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 blah. And I just think, so they could have knocked me, I could have been knocked out six times, you know what I mean? You wouldn't be blowing smoke up my ass then, would you? So that's the sport, like, and because I got them finishes, it doesn't mean that, you know, that's, you know, a big deal, and that's just the way the fights went, so. That's the way that Danny Dixon fight went. It got on the ground and I finished it, like, so.
Yeah, fair play. I know, obviously, Katie was watching you up in Colchester as well. What was your thoughts on watching Oban up in Colchester, Katie?
Oh, it was amazing. Yeah, you obviously got the first round KO. And I was only just saw it in the nick of time because I was interviewing. I can't remember who the fight before was, but I was interviewing them. And I thought, oh, that's fine. I can just hear the walkout music. I was like, got there just in time for the finish. So.
Yeah, that was a quick one. I think that was the quickest one.
That taught me that I can't hang around with your fights. I can miss the first few seconds.
No, everyone says that. Yeah, you can't turn up late. No.
And you're going on now, obviously, Oban. You're going to be back over Ebervale for, I think, the second time you fought.
Yeah.
Co-main event this time, I believe. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's mad, that, isn't it? Yeah, co-main event.
So, yeah, you've got, obviously, the headline is going to be Josh Reed and then yourself. Yeah. Under. I mean, what's it like for you sort of making your way up these cards now? How does that feel?
If it's an honour, but it does feel natural. I feel like I belong there. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't feel out of my depth. I don't feel like, oh, this is too much, too soon sort of thing. This is exactly what I wanted and this is what I'm working for. I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't want to be on the top of the cards, you know what I mean? So it's going to start with these academy shows and then I'm going to work my way up to the top of the televised cards. I can't wait for that.
Yeah, so that's the goal now, obviously, drop down to lightweight.
Yeah.
And work your way up on the Cage Warriors roster, is it?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, there's loads of good fights at lightweight. I think with the nature of how the, you know, with Cage Warriors, people come and go, don't they? And they get, like, you know, waves of fighters constantly come through. So I think there's a lot of matchups, boys at the top now, that I probably won't be matched up against in the future. Or I might do if they're still about, because a lot of them have been about for a while. Like, so, but there's loads of good matchups there. You know, I can't wait to get stuck in.
Yeah. Do we have any questions coming through on Facebook, Katie?
We do. I'm afraid one of them's about you again, Lewis. Have you heard of Wimp to Warrior, Roban?
What's that? Wimp to Warrior?
Wimp to Warrior.
No, I've heard of that, no.
It's basically a martial arts program. It takes people who've never done any form of martial arts before.
Yeah.
And they train every day for 6 months and then they have a fight at the end.
Oh.
And one of the questions is, do you think Lewis would do well if he started Wimp to Warrior?
Yeah, I reckon he could give someone the burial, yeah. Come on.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Who asked that question, Kate? Is it Peter Knox again?
It might be Lewis.
Yeah, I knew it would be him. So he's got in for me tonight, I think. But no, I think I'm going to give that a miss, to be honest, Peter, everyone watching.
You are.
There's a lot of love for Oban on here, but there's no questions at the moment. I'll give you a signal if we've got some questions.
yeah. Well, I mean, that's fine, because I've got plenty of questions. I mean, me and Oban have done this a few times now. And
oh, we know the score.
We always end up talking for about an hour too long, so we'll plod through our own. But yeah, Oban, Brett, what's your thoughts on him as an opponent? And can we get a prediction from you for how you think this fight's going to go?
Yeah, Brett as an opponent, he comes, you know, he's tasty, like, he's sharp, good hands, southpaw, you know, he's got all the, you know, I know he's not going to respect, come forward and give my hands any respect by the looks of things, so I think it's going to be a real entertaining fight for however long it lasts, because I don't think it's lasting very long, especially in a good, an advantage, one thing that I can really take from my amateur career. Because I've been fighting in them sparring gloves that are like, and I've been wearing extra large sparring gloves. They're about 7 or 8 ounces.
Yeah, they're a bit bigger, aren't they?
Yeah, these are all 4 ounce gloves now, plus the elbows, plus the knees to the head. There's plenty of opportunities in fights where I could have kneed to the head more, and plus the if I would have, you know, been going 3 rounds with people and not been able to get the finish in them bigger gloves, and then suddenly I discovered that you know I had, you know, finishing ability with my hands at pro, I'd be thinking, you know, I wouldn't be able to give you a prediction. But based on that, I think if I catch him, I think, you know, he's going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good to hear confidence from you. Not that we don't expect it, but is it at any point of the fight, you think, or do you have a specific round in mind?
Well, it's 5-minute rounds. So you're going to see me a lot more patient. You're going to see me,
yeah,
you know, taking my time, feeling it out, getting a feel for him, sussing him out, and whenever that chin comes on a plate, I'm going to take it.
Fair play. And is that something you've been working on more now, obviously going from amateurs where it's 3-minute rounds to professional, like you said, where it's 5-minute rounds? Have you been doing more cardio work or targeting that area more?
I've just been first couple of weeks of camp, it got the 3-minute mark and you sort of know when the bell's going to go. But then, like, this time, it's like, oh, there's another 2 minutes. And then you sort of, like, just mentally, you got to just sort of remind yourself. So, like, if I'm doing work on, like, the treadmill or something, if I'm doing sprints, I'm doing everything in 5 minutes just basic stuff like that. But I train, we don't even put a timer on when we grapple up the gym. We go until someone gets submitted. So half the time, you end up doing, like, a 15-minute round. So cardio-wise, there's going to be no issues. I think it's going to favour me, if anything.
Yeah. So,
the extra 2 minutes.
Yeah, I know you've told us on the show before a bit about the workouts you do up there. Obviously, yeah. Rounds ending and then your coach chucking more people at
you. Yeah, Lewis. Yeah.
It seems to be a natural progression for you then now, stepping up to professional in every aspect of the fight game, really.
Yeah, I think it, at amateur as well, it certain styles don't really match up. Like, definitely a striker. Like, you know, I've done well at amateur, but everyone who does well at amateur, 9 times out of 10 is a good wrestler. You look at all the IMAF winners. 3 minutes ain't that long when you're holding on to somebody's legs. But then when that extra 2 minutes comes on top of that, that grip starts to lose. You can break space. And the wrestler, 9 times out of 10, will be quite tired in that aspect. So it favours the striker, especially, I think, professional rules. So if it was up to me, you know, it's a bit daft, I would have turned pro straight away, obviously. But
yeah. But you've got that experience. You've got that experience now, so obviously you're all the better.
Yeah. And... I feel really experienced now. You know what I mean? I don't feel young or, you know, out of my depth of any of it, with any of it. Now I'm ready to go. Like,
and it's got to be good as well. Like, obviously, Cage Warriors is, you know, it's a really well known promotion. For you to have that amateur Cage Warriors belt.
Yeah.
You know, the title, the Grand Prix winner. You're always going to have that title now. You know, you've retired as an amateur. Yeah. I mean, that's something that, you know, whatever happens now in your professional career, that's going to be something you're going to look back on in years to come. Yeah. I'm really proud of what I achieved there.
I am really proud of what I achieved, you know, and what I've achieved at amateur. It was hard, bloody work juggling, especially while I've done it all while I'm at, you know, while I'm full time at uni as well with a job. Like, it's quite like, just like, sometimes like I'll be sitting there stressed out and then I'll just sit there and just sort of take it in a bit and be like, oh, yeah, I've done it right here, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, no, you definitely have. And obviously you're dropping down to welterweight. You're dropping from welterweight to lightweight.
To lightweight, yeah.
Now, Kate, you might be able to fill me in a bit on this because there's been a bit of movement at the top of the lightweight division in Cage Warriors, hasn't it? I think Soren Back has vacated his lightweight belt.
That's right, yeah.
He's dropping down. He's going to face Dean Truman for the featherweight belt. So obviously that's a big move for Soren because fighters don't necessarily vacate the belts when they go to another division. They usually sort of keep on to it, and if they lose, then they can go back to it. Have they said who's fighting for the lightweight belt at all, Katie? Do you know?
No, not that I've seen so far. But who do you think's going to be in contention for that?
That's what I was going to ask, Oban.
Yeah, it's got to be that Jack Grant, hasn't it?
Yeah,
he's up there. He's a big skin, isn't he? Who else up there? Paddy probably, isn't he? He puts the tickets out, like.
Jack is named on that Liverpool card, but I don't know if he has an opponent yet. So that could potentially be the one.
Paddy's hand's gone though, isn't it?
His
hands, but
yeah, he's not going to be ready for that one, is he?
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
Rhys McKee is in the lightweight division now.
Yeah. It's weird because I've seen them all at I've seen most of them at Cage Warriors 100, a lot of the lightweights. I just thought, you know, he's a Cage Warriors lightweight, whatever. Now I'm, you know, of course I'm only making my first professional fight now, but give it a year down the line, you know, I'm going to be up in the mix for them. Like, it's mad, really.
Yeah.
But
Mason Jones as well is another one who's I think he's pretty much at the top of the division now as well.
I think, you know, they could easily give him a title shot, and I think he could easily go out there and win it. He's a brilliant fighter, Mason. Yeah.
So I mean, yeah, if you think about that, they've got a big card coming up in Cardiff, haven't they, in April?
Yeah.
So that could potentially be. I'd imagine Jack Shaw is going to defend his belt on that card.
Yeah, it'll be main event in that, and then there's a co-main spot, and could be that Mason versus Jack Grant if Paddy's still. Yeah, I'm still gone.
A lot of good options. I mean, how do you feel you stack up against these guys now, Oban? You know, it's a big division, a lot of big names. You know, like McKee has obviously been a champion over in Bama, really well known. And like you said yourself, you're only, you know, another year and a few wins.
Yeah, yeah.
You could be up there. I mean, what's your thoughts on that?
I'd be stupid to say I'd be disrespecting him if I was to say, oh, come on, let's have it out now, but. I would have it out now of them. That's just how I work. You know what I mean? When you're a fighter, if you're a true fighter, you'll fight anybody. So me stacking up against them, I think anything can happen, and given my style, and I'm only going to get better. So I think if they've got a chance of beating me, it's now. But by the time I get up there, you know, that's just going to get thinner and thinner.
Yeah, no, brilliant. And like you said, we always like to hear you're confident. You have a lot of fans at MMA UK and across Wales and the UK, so we're very much looking forward to your pro debut now.
We've got a few more questions, Lewis, if I can jump in.
Jump in, Katie.
Fire away.
Okay, So Luisa Morlano wants to know who your hardest ever opponent has been.
Oh, Josh Hudson, yeah. It had to be, wasn't it? It went four rounds. Strong. Strong back of ears.
Ollie Mountford, do you know him?
Oh, yeah. We know him.
He said that Lewis owes you a drink for predicting Ortega Holloway wrong.
Oh, he does, yeah.
How did he remember that? I don't know how he remembers that.
Creep. He's a creep, mate. He don't get up to much. Silly boy.
Jordan Booten wants to know if you'd ever fight Mateus.
Yeah, well, I've fought Mateus a few times. Mateus is one of the boys.
At the gym? Yeah.
One of the boys, like, you know, just like my
mates. The lads.
Okay. The boys. He thinks he's hard after a couple of cans.
Oh, apparently he's your hardest opponent.
Who, Mateus?
Yeah.
Silly boys, man. Silly boys.
And who's Melvin number one?
That'll be Sean Daly. That pool player. It's, again, these are all inside jokes. No one's going to have a clue what I'm on about, but Sean Daly.
A lot of love on here anyway.
Yeah.
So one thing I should say about Oban is that he's got a big group of friends, and whenever he fights, they always come to watch him, and whenever he does these live streams, they all like to give him a bit of shit on you as well. So that's one of the good things about having Oban on and watching Oban fighting is he gets a bit of a crowd, and he's got a good bunch of friends as well.
I can promise you that they're not as bad as the ones that I didn't read out that Merdad got on about.
I've seen that, yeah.
I did a little bit of editing on that one.
Yeah,
he is off his head, that Luke, isn't he? Bloody hell.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, well, we're going to have to get Merdad on soon as well, because he's got some top quality banter, to be fair. Yeah.
I'm scared.
You're always scared when he's coming on, but he's a great interview, so we'll definitely have Merdad on. Hopefully before he fights in Bellator.
Yeah, oh, bloody hell, yeah. There's loads of them going up there, aren't they? Loads of matches up in Bellator now.
What's your thoughts on that, Oban, the Bellator coming into the UK now?
Yeah, it's a bit confusing, because I thought there was a link between Bellator and Bama, especially when they come over in the UK. But loads of good fights up there. Lou Long's on there, isn't he?
Jim Wallhead, he's fighting.
God, I had it all in my head. There's a bloke, Paul Elliott. That's my dad's name. I've seen that. Paul Elliott, some heavyweights fighting up there. Some absolute unit, like a silverback sort of bloody big skin. That's a big card up there. That Aaron Chalmers milks it, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's
isn't he? He's done well for himself. Bloody hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's definitely doing well. But, I mean, is that something that, obviously, looking forward again now, you know, I think the aim of most fighters these days is that they go into Cage Warriors. I think Oban's dropped his phone.
Dropped my phone. We're back.
There we go, back again. Would you consider, like, signing the Bellator if the right offer was made, Oban?
Oh, I don't know, man. I just do not want to... What if I didn't get to the UFC then? Do you know what I mean? Like, you've got to get to the UFC. Like, that's just it depends if you're fighting with Bam or you haven't got a clear path to the UFC yet. But I wouldn't, if it come down to it and I had to pick, you know, I would pick the UFC. I'm not in this for money. Like, you know what I mean? I got a degree. I can go and get a job if I had to pay the bills and that. I'm in this for the reward. Like, I want to be the best fighter in the world, and you've got to go to the UFC to prove that. So, you know what I mean? If they're going to it depends if it's like ridiculous money and then the UFC offering me, it's just a bit like, oh, all right then. But yeah, the goal will always be Cage Warriors world champion, then to the UFC.
Yeah. Sounds like a dream path, doesn't it?
Yeah. So that's the path.
Definitely got to go for that one. But obviously, you've got a few steps in between now, Oban. Which
yeah,
is
100%.
Be first one, March 2nd. It is the 2nd, isn't it?
March the 2nd, yeah. Eberville.
Obviously, it's going to be a huge card. Can people get you for tickets if they want them?
Get me for tickets. Just drop me a message on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, anything like that. Yeah, I got a few, but be quick because I'll go.
Yeah, no, and I don't think there's a huge amount of seating in Eberville.
It's a proper proper old school atmosphere in there. I can't wait to fight in there.
Yeah, I would say to people, get a hold of Richard Shaw, get a hold of Oban, and if you want to take us out, they are going to go quickly. Going to be a great night. Like you said, we've got the two pro fights so far is three, I should say, is three, Josh Reed, yourself, and then you've got Jordan Peake making his pro debut as well. So obviously going to be looking forward to seeing Jordan get on that card.
Yeah, it's a big card. There's loads of great amateur fights in there as well. Jack Tucker fighting for the amateur title against Elliot Chilcott, and then Scott Pedersen and Ben Ellis. That's another massive fight. That is a big fight, that is, you know, if you know what you're on about. And, you know, again, we've got a few teammates on there. Mitch is fighting. God, mine's gone blank now. Loads of few boys fighting on there, you know, on the undercard. It's a big night, like loads of talent on there.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a good one. And always before we part ways, we give you the opportunity to sort of say anything you want to fans, friends, even to your opponent, because I know Brett's up for this one, isn't he?
He's up for this one. To the friends and family, you know, thank you for all the support, and I hope you watched and tuned in. Thanks to all my team. Thanks to my sponsors and Brett. Just, you know, cheers for taking the fight, mate. I'll see you on the second.
Yeah, brilliant. And just before we let him go, Katie, is there any more questions or any more abuse he's getting from his boys?
No.
They settled down now.
Just a lot of love.
They're scared they're going to get the burial, that's why.
What's the burial?
The burial? Oh, it's just the ultimate, like, defeat.
Just get...
Yeah. The five-star burial.
You've got a lot of in-jokes. What was the one you were saying to me last time?
They can't handle the Randall.
Can't
handle Randall. That's the difference.
There's too many to keep up with.
Yeah, we're all shot away. Like,
you need to get a few t-shirts printed of these scenes.
Oh, yeah. When the time comes, the t-shirts will come. Don't worry about that, mate. Believe.
The very first time I interviewed Oban, Kate, we got into some story about one of his friends, Ollie, I think it is.
Yeah. That's another one.
Saying this story about, like, enjoy the pain. It ended up being like one of the most inspirational stories we've had on the show.
It turned out, love the pain. You've got to love the pain. If you can't...
Can you explain that to Katie briefly?
Yeah. There'll be times in your day, Katie, where, you know, you're thinking, oh, God, I'm busy with this and that. I can't be bothered with the day anymore. This is a horrible part of the day. You got to just tell yourself, love the pain. Love this bit, because then when the pain ends, you'll be even... in a better mood after that. And then you're just constantly like on cloud nine all the time.
I'm going to try and enjoy that tomorrow.
Just love the pain. Love the pain.
Yeah. I think on that note, there's no really better way to end it on that. Love the pain.
Love the pain, believe.
Oban Elliott, thank you very much for joining us. Always appreciate having you on.
Thanks for having me on. A very star-studded lineup. It's an honour to be the main event.
Yeah.
That's what I'm joking.
We said from the start, you know, for having Sage on, we're having Brad Pickett on. Oban Elliott's got to be the main event this one. So,
happy
to have you on, buddy. And we'll catch up to you in Ebervale, okay?
Thank you. Yeah, see you in Ebervale.
See you soon, Oban.
Cheers, guys. Cheers.
I think you have to press the red button on it. There we go. So, yeah, that's Oban Elliott. He is obviously going to be fighting March 2nd in Ebervale Sports Centre. Making his pro debut against Brett Hassett. So it's going to be a really big fight at lightweight. And Katie, another show come to an end. That's the first time we've done one of these together. What was your thoughts on the evening that we've just had?
Oh, absolutely loved it. Yeah, what a lineup. Getting to speak to Sage was so cool. He's just everything I thought he would be and more.
Yeah, and obviously great to chat to Nathaniel and Brad as well there. As well as Olga, it's always great to have these guys on, isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing. And just, I think everybody on tonight's just got such an amazing attitude, you know?
Yeah.
Like, Oban is so confident without being at all arrogant. And Sage is obviously super nice, no bad words about anyone. Nathaniel's not a shit talker either. It just goes to show, you know, like in this day and age where people were hurling insults at each other to promote fights. Not everyone has to be like that to be a star, you know?
I would definitely agree. All the guys on tonight, very positive and a great chat, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah. One more question for you, Lewis, before you go.
Oh, no. Is this from you or from the comments?
It was when we were, it was referring back to when we were talking about Bellator and Cage Warriors, but it was a question for you. Which promotion do you think will come out on top?
Cage Warriors and Bellator?
Yeah.
It's tough. At the moment, I really love watching Cage Warriors shows. They put the two big ones on in Cardiff. Obviously, they got Cage Warriors Academy shows on in my hometown. So, for me, at the moment, I would have to say Cage Warriors. I know I might be a little bit biased just because I've had more exposure to them and I've never actually seen Bellator live. So, for me, just at the minute, I would say Cage Warriors. I think, you know, you look at the last 2 years, they've been the main staple in the UK MMA scene, sending a lot of fighters up to the UFC and putting on a lot of great cards. So, for me, just now, it's them. Obviously, such a great promotion to go and watch. But Bellator seem to be investing a bit of time in the UK now. So,
yeah.
We never know what's going to happen, and but I think it's good that there's competition. You know, I don't know if Bama's going to be still around anymore. That all seems to be up in the air, but I definitely think it's good for there to be a healthy competition and for fighters to have options as well. Really,
yeah. I just hope that all the fighters that Bellator have signed get a chance to be active, because there seems to be a few people that have waited a while for a fight now. And if you haven't got on the Newcastle or the Dublin card, they might be wondering when their time's come in. So that's the only thing. I totally get why they've tried to sign up as many fighters as possible to kind of squeeze out the competition. But I hope all of those guys do get to fight.
Yeah, 100%. Well, you've got the Newcastle card coming up and then the Dublin one. When's the Dublin card after that?
23rd of Feb. So it's the same weekend as UFC Prague.
It's quite close together. And then, I don't even know when they're going to be coming back after that. So, yeah, if you're signed, you've got to be sort of thinking, yeah, I've got to get a big performance in this one because, you know, I don't know when I'm going to be getting on the next one. So, it's always the same, though, isn't it? I think there'll always be that sort of element of worry in this game. But, like I said, I think having these extra promotions on the scene now is only a good thing. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing both. And yeah, onwards and upwards from there. And anything else for us, or is that done in the questions now?
Yeah, that's done with the questions. I just wanted to ask you what you thought of the London main event being announced just before we came on. Versus Jorge Masvidal.
Yeah, so UFC London, Darren Till versus Jorge Masvidal. I think that was announced literally just before we come on, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's a really good fight. I think that's a really worthy main event of London. I know sometimes the London cards, they have a lot of like good British talent, but then there's not always that main sort of draw at the top end of the card. This one, though, you know, Darren Till always sells. He's got a huge fan base, really exciting to watch. And Masvidal, I mean, everyone loves Jorge Masvidal, so that's going to be a great fight. And I honestly don't know who's going to win that. I mean, my instincts tell me Till slightly, but I don't know. It's a great matchup, isn't it?
It's a really great matchup. I'm excited, really excited for that whole card.
Who have you got for that one then, Katie? Who's your pick in there?
I'll be hoping for Till all the way, but I haven't seen Masvidal fight in a while. You know,
Wonderboy, I think, was his last fight.
When was it?
Wonderboy.
Yeah, so it's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah. So that's obviously they're both off Wonderboy fights quite recently, you know. Till obviously beat him and then lost to Woodley. I think Masvidal fought him last year, so both of them have had him as a recent opponent. So, yeah, it kind of makes sense that they would make that matchup. I don't know what's happening with Colby Covington at the moment. I know there was talk of him mainly in this.
Yeah, he's going to refuse to fight until it's for the belt. So maybe he's going to wait and see how this one plays out. Yeah.
I think that would have been a bigger fight if they brought Colby over to fight Till. But I'm definitely not complaining about Masvidal, I don't think.
No, not at all.
So, yeah. So, guys, thank you, everyone, for watching, first of all, I should say. Any feedback, guys, for us? You know, this is we're pretty new at doing these kind of ones. We used to do them on the Facebook Live, but we're transferring over just now and doing them kind of more on this platform so we can get them spread out a little bit. So, yeah, we're working through a few technical errors and learning as we go, but please drop us some feedback and let us know what you thought, what we can do better.
Any guests you want to see on the show?
Any guests you want to see on the show, if you want to come on, ask, and we'll probably bring you on as well. We're enjoying what we do, and give us any feedbacks. We really do appreciate it. As always, you can follow us at We Are MMA UK, and that is on YouTube, Twitter, and obviously Facebook, I believe. So go over, give us a like, give us a few cheers, and give us your support, guys, because we really are trying hard to kind of make some headway with this. And yeah, Katie, anything you want to say before you go?
No, just thanks to Brad, Nathaniel, Olga, Sage and Oban for giving us their time this evening.
Yeah, big thank you to all our guests. And Katie, where can people get you on social media?
I'm at Coppers_MMA or I'm Katie Hunter on Facebook.
Yeah, so give Katie a follow. All her work is put on her social media. For me, it's at Lewis_MMA UK. And yeah, give me a follow and it's greatly appreciated. But yeah, with that said, Katie, I think we're pretty much done.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, cheers, Katie. Have a nice evening.
And to you.
Bye, guys.